Would you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 24? Matthew chapter 24. I'm sure you guys heard these questions. What is the next thing that is going to happen in the Middle East? And who is the Antichrist? Right? Have you ever heard a question asked that? And is he from Europe? Is he from Israel? And here's, of course, the million-dollar question. People still ask and still wondering, when is the rapture going to happen? Many people wrote a book about it, and they even made a movie out of it, and a lot of buzz is going on about that. Even though Bible clearly tells about the rapture date. Good portion of those books and movies and whatever the conversation should be in the trash dumpster. The biblical prophecy are here. Listen carefully, please, and put that in your mind. Biblical prophecy is here to show us the glory of God and the faithfulness of Jesus and to cause the followers of Christ to have holy living. Nothing more, nothing less. If you try to tickle your prophecy bones, if you have that, you ain't going to get enough of it. There are people who followed prophecy conference left and right. I don't know what else can they get more than what the Bible tells us. This morning and the next week, we are going to study the prophecies that were given from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount Olives. And it is known as Olivet Discourse. In Matthew chapter 24, the prophetic portion of the discourse is basically three-point messages. Verse 1 through 14, Jesus speaks about the end time as they relate to the nations around the world. In verse 15 through 31, he speaks about end time related to the nation of Israel. Keep that in back of your mind. Nation of Israel. Everybody got that? Which nation? Israel. Okay. In verse 32 to 51, he speaks about the urgency of the rapture of the church. Let's start here and pray. Father, many people want to know what's going to happen. Father, we know that it is strictly up to your timeline, not what people say. We know that it is not what we decide. It is not what we want to know. It is not what we think should happen. By your sovereign power, things happen according to your timeline. Father, we are asking you to speak to us and give us wisdom to understand your prophecies. Not to satisfy our prophecy mindset, but to honor you with our holy living and remembering the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love toward us. And we are called to be sons and daughters of God Almighty. Father, we pray for the President Trump and the leaders around this country. Father, we pray that they may come to know Christ and do the things that bring honor to your name. We also pray for our troops around the world, especially the one in the harm's way. And we also pray for law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Father, we ask you to protect them as they protect our lives. Pray this in Jesus. Chapter 24, verse 1, please. Then Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Note that word, please. All the stones in the temple will be thrown down. How would that happen? King Herod's temple rebuilding work started in 19 BC. Can you see that picture? Okay. If you see the giants in the background, that's not the giants. This building is a miniature building. And it ended at the 63 BC. It took 83 years to build this building. White marbles and pure gold on the top. I don't know if you can see it on the top of the temple and the columns. There is pure gold. It was destroyed in 70 AD, only 7 years later, because they rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ. When the Roman soldiers set, actually one drunken Roman soldier set the fire, and that fire spread all over. And the fire was so intense, it melted gold on the top of the building, and melted gold started going down the column and went between the crack of the stones. So this Roman soldiers decided they want to get the gold. They pushed all the stone and columns off its base and to retrieve the gold. So not a one stone was stayed in the place, just like the Jesus prophesied. Listen, every prophecy Jesus mentioned in the Bible has happened and will be happening exactly as it says. When the Bible says about the certain prophecies, you can take it to the bank because it happens. Go down to verse 3, please. Now as he said, Jesus said on the Mount of Olives, the disciple came to him privately saying, tell us when will this thing be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus' prediction had been the source of a tremendous disagreement among the Christians who have tried to understand them. Why didn't Jesus simply say the rapture date is such and such a time, or the second coming is such and such a time? Okay, if Jesus said rapture will not happen until year 2020. Don't mark on what I just said. I said if. Okay, I'm just making up the date. Year 2020, June, what, 18th? Is that good enough for you? June 18th. If we know that it's in the Bible, there will be a lot of backsliders going to happen. Okay, I will do whatever I want to do until June 17th. Maybe until 18th, if we know that it's going to happen at 8:42, I will be backslidden until June 18th, until 8:40. I will repent in 2 minutes and I'll go to heaven. That's a typical mindset. So, Jesus wanted people to know it's going to happen, but not really which exact date. Many eschatologies may seem to be vague because God wants every age to have reason to be ready for Jesus' return. Remember, the purpose of the prophecy is to have what? What kinds of living? Holy living, exactly. We should not think of Jesus' return as an event far off on the timeline, but we must be always be what?
Ready.
Ready. Are you ready? If you're thinking that, oh, I don't want Jesus to come because I have too many things that I haven't done, wake up. Jesus does not follow your timeline. As a matter of fact, I think I mentioned this. I met a nice young man, a Christian guy, and he told me, I already planned what's going to happen in my future. I don't want Jesus to come. I told him, Jesus doesn't follow your timeline. How dare you? He will do what he's going to do. He's a sovereign God. He's not your lackey. Verse 4, please. And Jesus answered and said to them, that take heed that no one deceive you. And many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and he will deceive many. And you will hear words and the rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For the nation will rise against the nation, and the kingdom against the kingdoms. And there will be famines, note that, pestilence, note that, and earthquakes in various places. all these are the beginning of sorrows. This chapter 24 is very much related to chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. So you want to jot down Revelation chapter 6 somewhere near chapter 24 of Matthew. From the beginning, Jesus warned his followers that many would be deceived and will deceive others as they anticipate his return. Do you know how many nuclear bombs, especially thermonuclear bombs, are around the country? Thermonuclear bombs. Just guess. Give me a guess. Huh? 5,000? Few thousand. Oh, do I hear 6? Do I hear 7? Anyone, come on, give me a bet. 3,500. You guys are really conservative. 15,000. 15,000 thermonuclear bombs. With that much stockpiled nuclear bombs, mankind can destroy this earth 17 times over. 17 times over. Albert Einstein was asked which weapon would be used in World War III. This atomic scientist gave an answer that I thought is very, very insightful. And he said, I know not with what weapons World War III will be fought, but I know World War IV will be fought with the sticks and stones. And he was asked why. He said, sticks and stones will be all that left if the World War III ever take place. After the rapture, Holy Spirit will not be taken out of the earth, as I taught you guys. He will just let go of you, humankind. They can do whatever they want to do. Guess what's going to happen? World War III. If you're thinking that, okay, Christian's gone, and you're not a Christian, you're thinking Christian's gone, honky-dory, we can do whatever we want to do. Guess what? There will be a war, major war. Before we go anywhere, I need to speak briefly about the psychopath fat boy with a horrible haircut, Kim Jong-un in North Korea. You know, I always thought I was a very ugly guy until I saw this man. I feel much better. His rogue nation is heading for one goal only, destroying America. Whether it is using nuclear warhead by intercontinental ballistic missiles or simply detonating nuclear bomb up in the air 5 miles above ground in Kansas, where it's the middle of the United States, and pretty much causing EMP, electromagnetic pulse, that would destroy any electronic device that is on. And you may say, so what? Okay, my iPad will go down, my iPhone will go down, or whatever Galaxy you have. All the electric grid, all the gas, all the water is controlled by computers. When those things stop, whatever you have in your car is the end of gas. If you have a fancy dancy car with all the computer stuff, ain't moving if you had it on. And think about planes that fly in the air that will go down because no computer is working. Disaster. Talk about disaster. EMP, the nuclear bomb that can cause EMP doesn't have to be accurate. In other words, this North Korea, little country, little pain in the butt country, is a clear and present danger to the United States. If President Obama was still in control, he will drag next 40 years if he can get away. He doesn't want to fight because he does not have a gut to fight. President Trump, I wouldn't be surprised if he just make a preemptive strike against the North Korea with a nuclear bomb. There's only one way to do it. Okay, next. Isn't it pleasant to talk about all this on Sunday morning? I haven't finished yet. Famine is a result of population explosion, human greed, and wars. There are enough food to feed the entire population around the world, but the people's greed hold them food bag. It took a time of the Adam until in 1857 the population was able to reach the 1 million people. Since then we have added a million people every 20 years. Now we have a well over 7.5 million billion people. Pestilence. Greek word that translates pestilence implies unusual pestilence. Consider AIDS virus. As of June 2017, CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, claimed that over 1.1 million active AIDS virus patients. But like a Brookings Institution and other conservative think tankers believe that there are far more, 3 to 4 million people with the AIDS virus. Homosexual people don't want the rest of the world to know about the true number. That's not enough, so we have Ebola, SARS, smallpox, West Nile virus, and Zika virus, and many more. We are living in a frightening time. In 1976, Geological Survey team discovered interesting change happening in the tectonic plate upon which the continent rests. I don't know if you can see the lines around the continent. There is a line going across. Can you see it? That's the tectonic plate. They start to move underneath of the ocean. It goes like this. And with so much power, push the water. And then earthquake happened along the ocean side. You talk about massive, massive earthquakes. I have found this. It's interesting. It's not interesting. It's bad. From 1890 to the 1996, in 79 years, there was 39 earthquakes that were magnitude 6.0 or greater. Between 2001 to the present day, the 2017, I actually counted this. There are 390 earthquakes, 10 times more in 17 years. Jesus said when we began to see the pestilence, wars, frequent wars, and famines and earthquakes, we know that the end is near. If you are not born again Christians, this is a very frightening time and depressing time. For the born again Christians, this is an exciting time. Because we know that our redemption is drawn near. We are going home to heaven. Go to verse 9, please. Continuing in verse 9 of chapter 24. Then they will deliver you up to the tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound and love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Verse 14, I want you to underline verse 14, please. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Stop there, please. After the rapture, during the first portion of tribulation, which is known as the time of Jacob's trouble, and there will be many Christian spring up, and they're the one who thought that they were Christian, but they never actually made a commitment in their heart. They never received Jesus into their heart. And the rapture happened. If the rapture happened right now, those who are truly born again Christian will be gone. Yep. Empty seat, more than what we have. And some of you who have never made a commitment in your heart, never received Jesus into your heart, will be sitting here and you're wondering what happened. You will remember that broken speaking English guy, preacher, told you many times the rapture will happen according to the Bible. And you're going to realize that, uh-oh, I missed the boat. Yes, you missed the boat. You are left behind. And if you come to know Christ after Jesus Christ take us home with the rapture, and you will be one of those quote-unquote tribulation saints. It's done by the left behind author, Tim LaHaye. Yes. And if you're thinking that, yeah, you know what? I don't need to make up my mind for now. After the rapture happens, if I really see that, then I will make a decision, come to know Christ. From the moment of rapture, from then on, everything goes wrong. Pretty much hell on earth. The unbelievers will literally execute you for what you believe. If you are not going to make up your mind for Christ now when there's no threat, what makes you think that you will going to do that when your life is threatened? Am I making sense to you? There will be many false prophets from the false religions and extreme violence and maximum perversion. I asked you to underline verse 14. Let's go back there. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end will come. This is the basis for the many controversies. Some say that we must evangelize the world so that Jesus can come back. This is another wrong prophecy interpretation we often face. Jesus will come back at a time already appointed, designated by the Father. Surely gospel needs to be preached. Surely we ought to participate in that process. But the rapture and nor the second coming of Christ are not dependent upon us, but the Father's timeline. No prophecy needs to be fulfilled for the rapture to happen. It can happen any moment. Go down to verse 15, please. Now we see the second half of the Great Tribulation. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever read, let him understand. Then let those who are in the Judea flee to the mountain. Underline Judea, word Judea. Okay. Jesus teaches us, it is prophesied in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. After the rapture happens, Antichrist will come. And he's going to make a 7-year treaty in the Middle East. So far, and every single president, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and what's his name? Bush, before even the Reagan, every one of them tried to make a peace in the Middle East, and they thought they did. It only lasts about ink dried, and they started throwing bombs at each other. It never lasted. But somehow this Antichrist will show up. He made a treaty with both sides, Arab and Israel. And Israel thought, wow, this guy is something. He is eloquent, an orator, and he was intellectually smart, and he has a charisma like no other. And he somehow managed to prepare the place on the Temple Mount to build the temple for the Israeli people. So Jews will think that this is the Messiah. Everybody embraced. He will capture the heart and attention of the entire world. And he came as the man of peace. And looked like. In the middle of his 7-year peace treaty, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, write it down, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, in case you're wondering if I'm lying, write it down and check it, please. And he will set up his image in the temple and demand to be worshipped as God. This is known as abomination of desolation Jesus prophesied and Daniel prophesied. According to Zechariah 13:8 through 9, write it down, Zechariah 13:8 through 9, following the abomination of desolation, the Jews will indeed flee. Only one third of Jews will make it to safety. Most Bible teachers believe that the remainder of this one third will run to the ancient city of Petra. Located in present-day Jordan, Petra is a mysterious and miraculous city. Approximately 2000 BC, Jacob's father Esau settled in the volcanic crater. It's about 1 mile length. And it's an incredibly secure place. To get into this crater, can you see? I don't know if you can see well. See that place? It's about 200 meters long and 12 feet wide and 1,000 feet high each side. Some of you guys have seen this location. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Harrison Ford and Sean Connery, they're riding their horse out of there. That's the location, Petra. Anyway, this place is like a long, narrow, weaved through. Only a handful about the size of platoon soldiers can be on top of them, each edge, ridge, and defend the entire city. No one can come in. So the Edomite, the sons and the descendant of Esau, Edomite thought this is an unconquerable place, an impenetrable place. Over the years, they constructed the M5 Theater, bank, as you can see. There is the M5 Theater, and the bank, and one more, here's a temple. They didn't build this. They carved stone, volcanic stone. They carved this stone. It's a one-piece construction. It took a century to build all this. And the population was 1 million people. And somehow they even built the aqueduct and bring the water from the outside to up to this mountain. It baffled the scientist's mind. Edomite was destroyed due to the widespread plague according to the God's prophecy through Obadiah. You can read the book of Obadiah. It's only 24 verses. You can read it. For many years, people considered Petra as the last city of Atlantis, mystical place and not really existing. Until 1812, however, the Bible teacher explorer adventurer named Johann Burckhardt, probably I butchered his last name, and determined to find the Petra, and he finally found this location. When another thing he found is, I don't have a photo of it, there's two huge eagle wings inscribed on the entrance at the entrance of that place. Go to the Revelation chapter 12, verse 14, please. Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. But the woman was given. Here, woman is, according to text, context, the nation of Israel, the remnant. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she will be nourished for the time and half time from the presence of the serpent. Who is the serpent? Satan. Antichrist. His lackey. Israel will escape to this wilderness place. Bible prophecy coming true. 19th century, late 19th century and early 20th century, the Bible teacher W.E. Blackstone. He was so convinced that the Petra is the place, he bought a bunch of Hebrew New Testament Bible and put it in the one of those wax paper and put it in the earthen jars and put them around the Petra within the Petra. And he thought that those Jewish people end up in the Petra, and they will see the New Testament Bible in their own language, so that they may come to know Christ. Verse 17 of chapter 24, please. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. Verse 20, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Underline that word, the Sabbath, as well. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days are shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect, note that word, elect sake, those days will be shortened. This text, verse 17 through 22, says that pray that the abomination of desolation doesn't come on Sabbath day. It is another indication that Jesus is speaking to the Jews, not to the church. The believers who subscribe the post-tribulation theology, like believing that the rapture will happen after the tribulation, seven-year tribulation, if you believe that, this, you're using this chapter to justify that their theologies. But the word Sabbath in verse 20 completely destroyed their idea. There are those who say that since the church is called the elect and church must go through the tribulation period, there are three groups in the Bible are called that elect: Israel, the church, and those who are saved during the tribulation. Keep in mind that the verse 15 through 36 is reference to Judea. Remember what I told you to note that word, Judea, and the Sabbath and temple. So Jesus is not speaking to the New Testament church. Jesus is speaking to the people of Israel. Are you with me on that? You have to understand, when Jesus speaks, and is he speaking to the people of Israel? Is he speaking to the modern day church? We have to understand the audience. Otherwise, prophecy can go all out of whack. But in the midst of this tribulation, there will be a temptation. I'm sorry, I went ahead. Think this. If you believe in the post-tribulation, prophecy doesn't fit in well. You try to put this round peg into the square hole. Now you can jam that in. Probably destroy the round peg, but it doesn't flow. It's not in contact. Go down to verse 23, please. Then if anyone say to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For the false Christ with the pearl and the false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, here is in desert. He is in the desert. Do not go out. Look, here he is in the inner room. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. No one should be deceived about the nature of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It will not be secret or private like a rapture, but as a plain as a lightning flash across the sky. But in the midst of such tribulation, there will be a temptation to look for a false Messiah. Jesus didn't say, I'm coming again to Brooklyn in 1921 to reveal myself to the Watchtower Society. I just quoted what the Jehovah's Witness said. Or, nor did he say that I'm coming again in the late 1800s to reveal myself through magic spectacles to Joseph Smith. I'm talking about Mormons. No, he comes at the second coming when everybody can see. How is that possible? I have no idea. That's not my problem. That's God's issue. And he doesn't have a problem, does he? Go down to verse 29, please. We are almost done. You can still go to Denny's. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, moon will not give its light, and stars will fall from heaven. Yes, the cosmic disturbance will happen during the tribulation. And powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the cloud of the heaven with the power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds. That's another way to say it, from everywhere around the world. From one end of heaven to the other. Here are the differences between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. First, rapture, it will happen when no one expects it. Slide up, thank you. No one expects. So we must be ready. For the second coming, it will happen in public so that everyone on earth can see it. For the rapture, Jesus alone comes down, not touching down on the earth. He comes to the middle of the air. In the second coming of Christ, Jesus comes down to the earth with his saint from heaven. For the rapture, Jesus comes down to take his saint to heaven. If you are born again Christian, it happens right now. You will go up with him. For the second coming of Christ, Jesus comes down to what? Say it again. To judge the unbelievers in the world. For the rapture starts the tribulation. In case you believe post-trib, rapture will happen after the end of the tribulation. When the rapture happens, you and I see it together, and I'll say like that. I'm not going to even say it, but I'll just point the finger at you. For the second coming of Christ, second coming and the tribulation. The key to understand the biblical prophecy is understanding what God is doing with the nation of what?
Israel.
Say it again. The events we just studied is very close. Jesus said that it is the birth pain for the tribulation, as the frequency of these pains are closer, and the time of rapture is even closer. Amen?
Amen.
Always be, how do we ready? Stay in the Word. Three applications. Number one, without knowing God's Word, we too will be deceived by the false doctrines and religions. Second application, the Word of God is faithful and accurate about the future. Don't ignore the prophecies. There are 70% of Bible content is about prophecies. Third application, no one knows the date of rapture. Say it with me. No one knows the date of rapture. Do not be deceived. Amen?